Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, and welcome to My Favourite Work of Art, with me, Dr. Laura Jane Foley. In each episode, I'm joined in the studio by a guest who tells me all about an artwork that means something to them. Today, my guest is a singer-songwriter, Dana Gillespie. In a successful and wide-ranging career spanning 55 years in the music industry, Dana has recorded 70 albums. She also appeared in the original West End production of Jesus Christ Superstar and starred in Ken Russell's film Marla. Over 20 years ago, she co-founded the Mustique Blues Festival, and she continues to tour around the world. I'm delighted she's joining me today.
Hello, Laura Jane. How are you?
Very well. So tell me, what is your favourite work of art?
Well, do you know, that's a very difficult question. What I thought I'd choose was a painting that wasn't probably anyone else's choice. It's a picture about cats, pussies, not as in pussy power, but four-legged sort, the meowing type. And it was originally done by a painter called Karl Kahler from Austria. And I work a lot in Austria, and the tradition of Austrian artists is very strong in my soul. I've been going there since 1980. But this particular painting is amazing because it was commissioned by a woman who spent a fortune, and she was a millionaireess, and she lived in California with 350 cats. So she asked the Austrian painter Karl Kahler to paint her cats. I'm not quite sure how long he took. I think it might say, I'm looking at a bit of blurb here in front of me.
I think he took about 3 years. I mean, he spent a long time. I mean, we should say that the painting is entitled My Wife's Lovers, and it's a painting of 42 cats, 42 of the alleged 350 that she had, and they're all in different poses. And I read that Karl had spent 3 years with this woman and her cats, looking at each one and doing little drawings and little preparatory sketches before attempting this huge canvas. It's 6 foot by 8.5 foot. It's absolutely massive.
I would love it on my wall. I would kill for it on my wall.
So you're a cat person then?
I am an animal person. I think when you get to a certain age, cats cooking and gardening or dogs or something suddenly become more interesting than rock and roll stars because I've had a sort of mad past. But, you know, I particularly like this because you can see that the woman who commissioned it had done it for the love of her pussies. And in the middle sits Sultan, who was her big favourite. And she seems to have favoured these Persian Angora cats. Mm. They're actually not really my favourite because somebody must have had to have been kind of brushing them all day long. I mean, think of the hair that would have come off these cats. Mm. It's just such an unusual painting. And it's just, I didn't want to, when you said choose a painting, I didn't want to do something, let's say, like the Mona Lisa that everyone knows. I thought it'd be nicer to have a glorious pussy picture that nobody would know.
So when did you first come across it?
I was sent it by an Austrian painter who's also very well known, Mr. Jörg Huber, and he's famous in Austria, Vienna, because he's done probably about 30 of my album covers through the years, and he's very much a cat person. So when he sent it to me, we both drooled and said, gosh, we wish we had this. I'm not actually sure where this thing now hangs, this painting.
Well, it's in a private collection because it sold at Sotheby's in 2015, there was a big sale, and there was a lot of publicity around it. And the estimate was $200,000 to $300,000. And it actually sold for $826,000. Massive.
Well, I'd had one lotto and it was going for a couple of million, I also would buy it.
Would you really?
Well, yes, only because I just like looking at cats in paintings, and you don't see so many.
There's so many of them. Well, slightly, I find it slightly creepy, I have to say. I mean, I'm not, I hadn't really thought about whether I was a cat person or a dog person, but my reaction to this, I think maybe I'm not a cat person, but it made me think of the Rossini cat duet.
Yes.
Immediately. Yes. That sort of, that, I mean, can you imagine the noise of all those cats meowing all the time?
Well, one could, I dare say, the smell as well. But, I mean, he must have painted them all individually, obviously. I mean, you're never going to get them all sitting. They're sitting on a kind of pink satiny curtain, and I can see that they're draped across bits of, I suppose, what must be nice bits of furniture. And it's just an unusual thing. And I just thought maybe, you know, I see that it had been voted the world's greatest painting of cats by Cat Magazine. obviously, they're slightly biased. I just thought it was kind of unusual. And you know, there's that other painter from Switzerland, Baltus. He always had a cat somewhere in his painting. There are these people that become obsessed by cats. Mm. And Mrs. Johnson, who'd commissioned this painter, was in 1891 she commissioned him. She must have been completely bonkers for her cats.
Yes. I think what's remarkable as well is that the artist, Karl Kahler, had never actually painted a cat until he got this commission. I mean, that's pretty remarkable. I think it was a horse. He painted horses and genre paintings. And then now he's so well known for this.
Well, I wonder if he's been known for anything else after this. He might have.
Well, sadly, he died in the earthquake, in the San Francisco earthquake.
Oh, no. I didn't know that. Mm. Where did you find that out?
Well, as art historians.
Well, I know. that's kind of sad, but I'm pleased that he's left behind this great painting that we can look at. But, I mean, he'd never get another commission like that. Well, perhaps in, you know, in Arab countries, they might have their favourite falcons or something painted by artists. But to do this sort of work, I do see what you mean about it being slightly creepy, because it's obviously this woman, Mrs. Johnson's obsession, and somebody else's obsession is not everybody else's passion.
Mm. I love the title, and my wife's love it. I think it's quite a nice little irony that the husband... Well, describe the cats like that.
Well, I've come to a point in my life that I think I'd prefer to spend my life with about 10 pussycats walking all over me than a guy.
Well, probably right.
Well, yeah, but I've been through the mill, so I can get away with saying things like that. It's one of the joys of getting older, you know. The only other thing about getting older is that you become slightly invisible, unless, of course, you're a singer. But, I mean, your life very much changes, and I don't think I would have screeched to a halt and stared at this painting as much as I do now if I had been 40 years younger.
Oh,
tastes change. Well, actually, when I was younger, I kept dogs.
Oh, right. So, okay.
But when you get old, you don't want to do the walk all the time.
Want them to look after themselves.
Yes.
Interestingly, though, it was quite a famous painting. I know you said that your friend introduced you to it, but in the 40s especially, it became mega famous in that it had been on, it was first on display in the Chicago World Fair, which is about 1893, but then it went through several owners. And in the 40s, the current owners, the owners at the time of the painting had prints made. They took it on a tour of art galleries around America.
Really?
It had a big event in Madison Square. It became a big deal. So a lot of people's homes would have had this print sort of in the 40s and the 50s. So it has, you know, had these sort of periods of fame in its life.
I'm surprised that nobody's kind of printed up postcards for it. You know, if you go in a postcard shop, there's always pictures of cats everywhere. And I had not seen it before I was shown it by somebody online, unless you can't get copyright on it. Maybe it's that.
Yes, it could well be. I mean, I know that it was the current owners bought it. I mean, I read a lovely thing online, actually, that said that the current owner bought it because, obviously, a very wealthy current owner, but his mother had had a print when she was younger. And he'd always remembered it being in his home as a child. And then he wanted to buy it to remember her.
Do you remember which country
it's in? It's in America.
It's still in America.
There was an exhibition after it was bought in 2015. There was an exhibition at the Portland Art Gallery in Oregon in 2016, and they made a big deal of it. But the painting is huge, and the cats are actually larger than life.
Right.
So they had an event on where they had a local cat rehoming centre, and they brought in these cats that needed to be rehomed, and they had them next to the painting. They tried to recreate the painting with the actual different types of the colours of the cats, the different breeds. and you could see, you know, there's some images online if you Google it, you can actually see that it's vast.
There are some colourings of some of the cats in this painting that seem unusual, these kind of speckled, skewbald or piebald, a bit of both actually, and there's only one black one. They're predominantly white. I wonder how many of those were deaf, because aren't white cats meant to be more deaf than others? But there's some that are those three-coloured cats. But, I just looking at it now, I wish I had... Well, I'd love it on my wall or something similar. I mean, I need to find somebody to come. I've got no wall space, though. And I like old paintings. I don't like new modern things. I was actually done by Andy Warhol for a cover of one of my albums in the 70s. And my mother had it on her wall. I wouldn't want it hanging on my wall to look at a picture of myself. No way. I'd prefer to look at furry animals.
Oh, wow. So you still have it?
Yep.
Oh, fantastic. Wow, we should be talking about that.
Well,
I want to see that.
I can show you. I might have it in my, whatever. Yes, well, it's actually was the cover of an album I did. David Bowie and I had the same manager in the 70s, and he'd written a song for me called Andy Warhol. Why he wrote it for me, I don't know. So I sang it on one of my albums, and he liked my version so much that he put it on one of his albums after I'd already recorded mine. And we were all in New York together, and, you know, Andy Warhol was there, so it was decided that he should do my cover. But nearly nobody's seen mine except as the cover of an... Wow. Well, it was an LP, of course, which dates me, but it's just come out, actually, as a double, on a double box set thing called What Memories We Make of stuff I recorded in the 70s. I could have done the Andy Warhol thing, but then I thought that might be slightly too narcissistic, so I thought I'd better choose some cats instead.
So tell me, did you go to Studio 54? Did you go to the factory? Did you go there and
I didn't. It was all done for me. I was in New York for 2 years, and I never went to Studio 54. I was probably the only rock and roller there that didn't.
You were too cool.
Well, it's just I've never been a party person, strangely enough. I'd rather write songs or go to it and actually sing. But it is quite a striking album cover, and one of these days I should really sort of get it out and slightly more shown around.
Absolutely.
It's got a couple of small rips in it. When my mother died, I had to transport it back, so I need to find somebody that's going to repair it properly. It'll get another airing one of these days.
Excellent, good. If you commissioned a painting or something that meant a lot to you, like Kate Birdsall Johnson did, what would you choose? What would it be of?
Ooh, I think probably something that's not living, like some sort of somebody's mad mind, the inside of their mind, something rather psychedelic. I like colours. My idea of hell would be to have a Rothko, for example, you know, where it's just one colour. I did a concert in the Rothko Chapel, which is in Houston. I mean, I was just surrounded by... Well, we're sitting in a studio with just plain walls. I know anybody who loves modern art will think I'm a complete peasant, but I like art that looks like art. I don't like sploshes and, okay, a bit of Jackson Pollock maybe, but I guess I would like some cats if somebody was a really good cat painter. At home, I've got quite a few symbolic paintings. I go to India a lot, so I'd have anything that's got oriental leanings. I've been going... My place looks like a temple, actually, if you walk into it. Cross between a temple, a harem, and a probably a Sufi monk on acid. And so it's very, very colourful, and there's not an inch of blank wall. It's kind of covered with paintings. So I've always... In fact, if I get another painting, I don't think I'd know where to put it. So I probably wouldn't commission anyone to do anything.
What about sculpture? Always space for a bit of sculpture.
No, I've got no I've got no space for anything anymore.
Oh, no.
I'm having to sort of... I can't declutter because I've just reached saturation point. Sculpture would be nice in a garden, but I have a small bit of garden actually where I live. But I have got a stone lion, a huge lion's head in the garden, but it's only there. It hasn't been nicked because I don't think anyone can lift it up. It's so heavy. I would have sort of... I'd love a stone, any animal actually, in the garden, but you can't leave anything out.
Stone cap.
It's gonna get stolen.
Yes.
This is how life is. When I was young, I live in South Kensington. When I was young, there were lots of real cats walking around in the gardens. There are now no cats.
I'd never seen a cat in London.
No, it's so sad. And I used to see really classy cats where I lived. Beautiful, you know, really expensive breeds. And one even had a Diamante collar. But people just don't have them anymore. I think either they get stolen and asked a ransom, or in the area I live, a lot of the houses are just bought and kept empty, which I think is a scandal. So who's going to feed these animals?
Mm. Yes, you're right.
It's much better for animals to be in the countryside, as we know. And when my mother was alive, I had two cats and a dog, but I would take them up to Norfolk, where she lived, where I originally come from, one part of me anyway, and she would look after them. So I think I would have sculptors. You know, You mentioned that I ran the Mustique Blues Festival for 20 years. Well, one of the men who used to be there, he's sadly no longer on this planet, was a man called Felix Dennis, who had Oz magazine Dennis Publishing, and he owned various amazing magazines. But he was famous for commissioning people to do bronzes and things. In fact, on the island of Mustique are two huge humping bronze tortoises, so because you always had a sense of humour, you need large space to commission large bronze statues. I mean, he had a huge bronze horse, amazing statues he had in his garden. My garden isn't big enough to commission anything. So sadly, no, I don't think I would commission anything.
and also, I mean, you needed a lot of space to have this as well, 6'5", amazing.
Yes.
Sadly, but that's all we've got time for. I could have talked to you for a very, very long time, but it's gone very quickly.
It has indeed. But I'm so pleased, well, sad that you tell me about Carl Carla having croaked in the earthquake.
Yeah.
But absolutely. I hope it was quick for him and he's remembered now.
Well, I think what's interesting as well is that the painting was in an art gallery at the time. This painting, Why My Wife Suffers, and the art gallery was destroyed, and yet this painting survived. So how remarkable is that too?
That
survived
is.
The earthquake.
Yes.
Thank you so much for coming in, Dana. Today, we were talking about My Wife's Lovers, a painting by the Austrian artist Carl Carla. Although best known now as a painter of cats, Carla had never painted one before he received the commission for this painting in 1891. He spent 3 years studying cats' poses and learning their habits before painting this huge 6'x8.5 canvas. Born in 1874, Carla studied at the Academy of Fine Arts in Munich before emigrating to Australia and later the United States, where he received the commission for My Wife's Lovers. He died aged only 49 years old in the 1906 San Francisco earthquake. If you would like to see the artwork we were discussing this week or carry on the conversation further, you can find me on Twitter at Laura Jane Foley. And if you want to discuss the show, please use the hashtag #MyFavouriteWorkOfArt. The show is recorded at Wise Budder in London. The title music is Blue from Colours by Dimitri Scarlato. I hope you'll be able to join me next time. Goodbye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.